previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
And they bring up Brock Holt, who is much smaller than somebody named Brock ought to be. And Brock Holt...
Rockstar.
Yeah, Brock Holt hits a one bouncer to first, and they're out of the inning.
Time to shave the mustache.
And then, in the bottom of the 10th, runner on second base, J.L. Realmuto. Is it J.L.? What's his...
J.T.
J.T. Realmuto.
Catcher good, who can run.
Real good runner for a catcher. That's all I'll say. The Beltway Mitterrand comes in.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
He came in again last night, and he was good. He pitched the seventh, and he was good.
Doing the double pump.
Rainey pitched the eighth. Hudson pitched the ninth. Their bullpen was good. They beat Tampa again. Tampa doesn't care losing to the Nats. It's like the Nats, you play so many games in your division where they are two-game swings each time. It doesn't really matter what you do out of your division. I don't want to get involved with a Nats deal. I just don't. I just don't.
Were you surprised to see how tall every single pitcher is on the Rays?
They throw 98 and they're 6'10". They're enormous.
Each one gets taller than the last.
They are like they're building a wall with these pitchers. They are enormous. They really are. I don't know much about Tampa. They're a good team. But they don't...
Got a great bench coach.
You know, they don't have the lineup that when healthy, the Yankees lineup is a better lineup. When healthy, the Dodgers lineup is the best lineup. Anyway.
Yeah, Yankees last 20 games, though, was it 5-15?
They're terrible.
One of their worst stretches of the last 30 years.
And Gerrit Cole, they've lost his last four games that he started, and they're paying him $324 million. Oof. And he started out great. He started out 4-0, and now he's 4-3. It's an odd season. That voice you hear is Michael Kornheiser's. He is 6 feet away at Uncle Benny's table. There's some things I want to talk about. I think I'm going to talk about the shirt that I'm wearing, right, Michael? That'd be the way
I've been
to go.
Waiting for this episode for weeks now.
Okay. So I got a catalog, and it's dangerous in a pandemic. It's dangerous to send me a catalog because I haven't spent any money, really, on anything. I haven't gone shopping. I don't really spend any money.
Certainly not on food.
No, other people in my house spend money on things. I don't. So I got this catalog from L.L. Bean, and I looked through it. And I was guided by the fact that my friend Peter Melman, when I started talking, if you remember, about Eddie Bauer t-shirts and how they didn't send them. And separate
handling fees.
I didn't enjoy that entire experience at all. And American Express got me out of it. And it's fine. So Peter Melman wrote me a note that Peter Melman, for those who don't know, was the story editor and chief writer for a while of Seinfeld. He has credentials. He's very, very funny.
Some of the most famous episodes.
Yes. Some of the most sponge-worthy, I think, was one of his.
Yes, it was.
So, and not that there's anything wrong with that, I think, was one of his, but I'm not certain. Anyway, Melman's really funny. So Melman said, no, you got to buy L.L. Bean casual, non-shrinkable...
Unshrinkable.
T-shirts. You got to buy them. So I looked
at... No pocket.
No pocket. I don't like pockets on T-shirts. I don't like logos on T-shirts. I don't like writing on T-shirts. As I said to Michael early this morning, I don't like Bob's truck stop on my T-shirt. I just don't. You know, I wish Bob all the luck in the world, but I don't want to wear that. I don't want to wear something from a bar. I just don't. I want it to say nothing. I want it to be mine. So I looked through and I saw the unshrinkable T-shirts and I thought I'd give it a try. And so I wanted to order two T-shirts as a trial. In other words, I'm going to wear these to see if I like them. And then if I like them, I'm going to buy more.
Now, how long does it have to last to pass this trial?
About four washings, just to see what it looks like after about four washings. You know, nothing special.
Size and color, that's what you're looking for?
Yeah. So okay, no pockets. And I like long sleeve T-shirts, but, and I have to be honest about this, they were $10 more. So I decided to get a short
trial.
I thought I'd get the cheaper short sleeve T-shirt. And there were colors that I wanted. And none of the colors, because I don't order online. I call somebody up. And none of the colors that I wanted existed. They were not there. They were back ordered. They would take months. And I ended up with dark green, which I hate. And I'm wearing it now. And cayenne, which I hate. Which is a sort of a rusty orange, would you say, Michael?
More of a deep red.
The dog is barking because there's a dog
but
in front of
that. But not a cherry red, not a Merlot. A good cayenne.
So I hate them both. So this morning, but I'm not returning them. I'm not going to return them because I'm too embarrassed to say I hate the colors. I picked the colors. Well, I didn't pick all the colors.
They want that feedback.
Yeah, I didn't pick all the colors. Someone else picked the colors, and I don't like it.
Who else would you trust with this?
I didn't pick the colors. And so I put them on. I have one on. I have the green one on now, right?
Yeah, this is your walking shirt.
I'm going to walk in it today. I don't really like the neck. The neck is a little too large. I also like on T-shirts, I like the neck to be tight. You know what I mean? I don't like it boated out. How can I explain this? I just like
it tight. A fitted
neck. I like it tight. And it's, you know, so I've got to give it a chance.
This is a crew neck shirt, just to reset.
I've got to give it a chance, but I'm not crazy about it yet. How does it look, Michael?
It looks like a T-shirt.
It does.
What's so great
is
your activity of the day is you go for a fast-paced walk,
yeah.
And this is where you're really going to put this T-shirt to the test.
To the test.
You're not going to put on anything with wicking, anything with moisture control.
No.
Nope.
No.
A good old-fashioned old man T-shirt.
Yeah.
But what's so great about this is those of us of a certain age, when I see this catalog, I'm brought back to school this exact time or the beginning of winter where you get to pick out your backpack.
Backpack.
You get to pick out a winter
Get your
hat.
Initials on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just did that for the Bootster.
Yeah.
And it makes me so happy that you
could wear this Cayenne, or he's a little bit small for this.
We could stitch that into a blanket for him.
Yeah.
So I found these T-shirts on my chair, and I had to admit to you, I already ordered these for myself.
You did. On Melman's recommendation.
Except I put the extra $10 on the card, and I got the long sleeve shirt.
Oh, let me know how it is.
The Yellow Bean catalog does such a great job making you feel like what your life could be like if you just got a canoe.
Yeah, yes, that's right. People, when you drive around in certain states like Vermont, and you see people with canoes on top of their cars all the time.
On their Subaru Foresters.
Yeah, and you think,
from
okay.
2002.
Yeah.
That's the same color as your green T-shirt.
Yeah, I got behind yesterday when I was driving home at the top of the line. This is true. A line of 9 cars on Route 16, 9 different cars being slowed down ultimately by a blue Subaru Forester. Yes. And everybody ultimately passed. And you just say to yourself, why are you even allowed to drive?
What kind of stickers on the car?
Marathon stickers, mm-hmm. Running stickers. Yeah, I guess the person in the car didn't want to drive faster than he ran. I guess he didn't want to do that. I guess he felt that he wanted to make a commitment to runners. So I'm looking at the Cayenne. I don't know. I'm not returning it. I'm keeping it. I'm going to give it the full trial if they work.
I'm so excited but I want for to you get, to see the sweater that I ordered and to just hear what you say about it.
You
and
ordered you a think, sweater
oh, I
from L.L. Bean?
A sweater that makes it look like I've been just fishing off the coast of Nova Scotia all summer long with my windswept Luke Russert hair.
Yeah. So there you go. Let me just say one thing. I wanted to get into this because we weren't going to have Steve Sands on. I want to just make my position known on the Tour Championship. It is an unsatisfactory golf tournament. I am not angry that Dustin Johnson won it. Dustin Johnson's the number one player in the world. Dustin Johnson since mid-August. Nigel, what is today's date?
I believe today is the 9th.
September 9th?
Yes.
Since mid-August, Dustin Johnson has won $18.3 million. It's September 9th. In less than a month, $18.3 million. He's the number one player in the world.
And before that, he was missing the cut.
Yeah, but you can't have a chance. It's an invention. The Tour Championship is an invention of FedEx and the PGA Tour. It is not a major. It has no particular status except in the minds of FedEx and the PGA Tour.
I don't know if 15 mil carries a little bit of status.
It carries a little bit of money. It doesn't carry any status. Nobody can name anybody who's ever won this thing. They know that there's money involved. You can't give Dustin Johnson a 10-shot lead over half the field. And you can't give him a 5, a 4, or a 3-shot lead over the best players. You have basically eliminated 3/4 of the field before you start. 25, or 20 at least, of the 30 players can't win. They cannot win. Dustin Johnson, over 4 rounds, was beaten by 2 people. Xander Schauffele by 4 shots, Scottie Scheffler by 1 shot, and tied by Justin Thomas. And yet Dustin Johnson walked away with all the money by virtue of the advantage he was given before the tournament even started. This is unsatisfactory to me. Michael, you can talk.
Well, I think you have to throw in the TV network partner for this, and you're correct. This is an invention.
NBC.
And I would say take a look at the bottom. You're focused at the top, and I'd actually look at the people who barely got in and think about what are the ramifications of getting into this tournament, getting this money, and how it sets you up for future success. And yes, you talk about the partner in FedEx. You start to wonder, why is it that we are so invested in getting the PGA Tour back? Is it, yes, it is a potentially a safer way to get back to pro sports. But you also look, it was to get to this past weekend's tournament where you thought you could have enough of a season to justify hoisting this amount of money.
Unsatisfactory.
And you look at the balance of trying to... So the PGA Tour actually starts this upcoming week for the 21 season.
That's insane.
And that's the same true...
September.
Was the true last year. So you had a list of winners and money earners who were leading the FedEx Cup when the tour shut down. All of a sudden, you start looking, 10 of those names aren't going to carry... the ratings. And he looked, the biggest jump this tournament had in recent memory was 2018.
Tiger
walked up Eastleigh with the throngs of people following him, even Rory McIlroy getting swept up into that. And we barely remember Justin Rose with a
finishing fourth,
respectful par, I think it was,
and taking all the money.
So
it's an invention. The tournament's an invention.
Take a look at Billy Horschel, who was the last player to qualify because his playing partner, I think, three putted from inside 10 feet. Last person to get into the top 30, finished last at this tournament, and almost made $400,000 to do so.
I mean, I don't want to go on and on and on. Actually, I do want to go on and on and on because I just think it's stupid. It's the same thing that happened years back with NASCAR when they would have a field of 32, but only 12 were eligible to win. So, you know, 10 guys could finish 1 through 10 and they weren't allowed to win. Because they hadn't qualified. It's arcane. It does not work. You have to come up with a better plan than this, than a guy getting a 10-shot lead over half the field. It's just stupid.
Well, I wouldn't say it's arcane. This was a modern way to try and reinvent something that lost all pull as soon as football started.
It's junk.
And so we think
this is
supposed to be an end of September event, and it's supposed to keep eyes on golf when you get to college football at the end of the summer and through early September when the NFL makes a return. So you're trying to, they're not worried about you and me watching on a Sunday.
But
they're worried about a casual sports fan who doesn't necessarily understand until NBC admits the fact that this guy was basically given a couple shots aside.
There's no tournament in golf in which if you post the best score, you don't win. Xander Schauffele had the best score by 4 strokes and did not win. This is un-American. I love to say un-American. It's not un-American. It's just not. It's not.
Well, you can have
fair in
of
the
that.
Rules. You invented a rule to make this fair. It's not fair. That's all.
Okay. Well, metal play itself, we can say, is a different form than match play, and match play offers some of the best, most exciting golf that we have.
Yep.
So I'm for trying to come up with different ways. I love when they do the team format.
Yeah, but this isn't the right.
Louisiana.
This isn't good.
Sure, it's not necessarily the way you want to try and end something that's supposed to encapsulate an entire season and identify the best player of the year. It does not feel like it did that.
Thank you for indulging us on golf and indulging me on L.L. Bean dark green T-shirts.
Can't wait to show you that long sleeve tee.
Cayenne T-shirts. We'll take a break. Will Wilbon be with us when we return? Nigel?
Yes.
Yes. Sorry. My microphone was
off. Are you listening? Are you like...
I am listening.
What were you doing? Well, then I asked you a question.
I had cleared my throat, so I had muted my microphone just a moment before.
I thought we were off the air like we were yesterday on PTI. We're a disaster on PTI.
Should I get the iPad?
Disaster. So I thought
we were
off the air.
Indeed be with us. No, Will Bonner will indeed be with us.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Lincoln Financial ad. Hey, everyone. I'm going to read it. Hey, everyone. This new world we're living in has me and my family talking a lot more. I mean, we're talking about everything from how much greater was the greatest of all time than today's greatest to how to make sourdough bread. Elizabeth made sourdough bread yesterday. Made it from scratch.
Rye.
Yeah, she made a sourdough rye absolutely from scratch. To when football might start up again. It's not might. Thursday. Tomorrow. Right? Tomorrow it starts up. And trust me, that last one's important. I can't keep watching my dog run circles in the backyard and call that a spectator sport. The dog was running all over the living room just before.
Yeah.
Running circles in the living room. Dog's nuts.
She's a dog.
But yeah, despite how talkative we all are, the people at Lincoln Financial want to point out the one conversation that most people still haven't had, that is your financial plans. So find time to talk to your loved ones about it, because the more we talk, the better we plan, protect, and retire. That's why Lincoln Financial is here to help you. Get the right questions to start your conversation at LincolnFinancial.com.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Who's that lefty on the mound on Capitol Street with an ERA well north of wheat? If you're looking for an out or two, you might be feeling conned by the Beltway Mitterrand.
This is so great by Dan Byrne. The Beltway Mitterrand, Sean Doolittle. I can't stand him. It's terrible that I feel this way. Wonderful story songs. He's the sort of Harry Chapin of a new century. He plays in Michael Wilbon, and we need to talk about this, because yesterday, we're on ESPN2, so nobody watches, and I understand that. I appreciate that. But I get up to my attic, and my equipment's not working. The prompter is out, the camera is out, and Tracy is running around like crazy, setting up an easel, trying to get an iPad. I didn't really watch the show last night. We did the show, but it was, I don't know how you felt about it, but I mean, I'm just sitting here thinking, you got to fix the equipment, right? I mean, it just, I don't know if it worked. I mean, I was literally talking into an iPad, and I didn't know if it worked. Could you see me at all? I could not see you.
Yeah, I could see.
Okay. Because your equipment in Chicago is working.
Well, because I don't have equipment in Chicago. I'm in a studio.
That's what I mean, yeah.
I didn't have equipment in Arizona. I was in a studio.
Yeah.
So I'm the only person who's done 100-some days of TV since March who did virtually none of them in a bedroom.
Yeah.
I literally could be the only person in America who every single one of those days, there was, look, I knew after day two when they put that stuff, they sent it to me, they just sent it, somebody came and installed it in my house in Arizona. I barely got on the air the first day. Barely got on the air. Luckily, the wonderful veteran makeup artist, she's been around enough of these setup situations that she detected something and said, I think you got to try this to get on. Only because she was sitting there did we get on the air the first time we tried it. And I said, I'm not doing this. I don't care what the rest of the world is doing. I got a studio, sneaky big, thank you, Bob Parsons, where there's a nurse every day. I'm not doing an attic or a bedroom. I'm not doing any of that.
So we've done about 115 of these shows, something like that, 115. Yeah. Every one of them worked. We may have had to jerry-rig a couple of things here and there, but overwhelmingly they worked until last Friday and until yesterday. Yeah. And then it descended into TV hell. And Tracy did everything she could humanly do, and we got on the air. But I don't know. I don't know. Did you play while you were in Chicago? Did you play Olympia Fields? Did you go play?
Yeah. I made the mistake of letting my baby brother talk me into playing the North Course, which is
the championship course. Yeah.
BMW course, where I caught, Don says, let's play the championship course. I'm like, why? We are weekend golfers. We're not even as good as we were 5 years ago, 10 years ago. What are you talking about? Dude, we just saw it. It was the biggest tournament in Chicago since the Ryder Cup was at Medina a few years ago. Let's just play the North Course. And members are smart enough to not play the North Course. Because the rough, Tony, you know what it was like. Look, the best golfers in the world most of them could not break par.
That's right. That's right.
A week ago. So I called out and I said, can we play the North Course? And you could tell somebody in the golf shop just started laughing. Yeah. You want to play the North Course? And I said,
knock yourself
out. The rough down? He said, yeah, the rough come down a couple of inches. And I go, all right, you know, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I mean, even though Chicago has had the hottest summer since 1871, it is still not the climate of here, of greater, the
That's
DMV.
Right.
It is still not that. There are still nights in the 60s and 70s where you can grow grass like you grew it 100 years ago. So it's beautiful. We step out there, and three holes in, I go, I should kill Don.
Yeah.
Because I listen to him just because as a guest, and it's only guests, this only happens. You know, Robbie Petty, then Robbie Petty can.
Well, he's a player.
He played in North Carolina.
Yeah,
but you know what?
Player.
Robbie would kill me for saying this. I don't know if Robbie had been with us if he could have. I don't know that he would have broken 80. I've never seen Robbie shoot 80. I've never seen Robbie shoot more than 75 or 6, and that might have been at like Pebble. I've never seen him go above 80. I don't know that he would have broken. I don't know that. So it was both great to do a week after.
Yeah, it's exquisite torture. It's torture,
yeah,
but it's fun, right?
It's torture.
It's fun.
It's
fun.
Anyway, you know, it was like 73 degrees. It was a great day, except we decided to play a championship golf course.
So let me get to a couple of things that I watched this morning that I did not expect. One is about Giannis Antetokounmpo. I watched him post-game yesterday. I mean, I'd watched the game, but I didn't stick around for post-game. And he talked about building something for years at Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And I looked at that and I went, I wonder what Wilbon thinks of this. Because you and I were describing what teams he might go to. What did you think of that? Does that change your mind?
I didn't see that because I was traveling.
Oh. Okay, well, that's...
Last night. So I didn't see that... It doesn't surprise me, Tony, but guys can say and feel a lot of things about the circumstance they're in until it's presented to them that there's another circumstance that's damn attractive too, or three circumstances or five circumstances, whatever the case may be. Now, Antetokounmpo, who's also, I mean, he's got a brother, he's got brothers who play basketball, and his youngest brother, I think, is in high school in Milwaukee. And so he may feel very differently about the circumstance he's in. The city of Milwaukee is undergoing a dramatic change. And it's undergoing this dramatic change because he plays there. There's a new arena that's just a couple of years old. It's beautiful. It sits right downtown. And in much the same way, Washington underwent a major change in the 7th Street corridor. And it didn't start because of Michael Jordan. It started because of Abe Pollin, of course.
Yeah.
But then Michael Jordan, it dramatically changed the 7th Street corridor, his presence there. Even though they weren't conference finalists and he wasn't the MVP by then, it dramatically changed the whole thing in a couple of years. That's what Milwaukee's having. I've been there. Trust me, I take the train from Chicago after PTI. I do PTI in Chicago during the playoffs. And then I take a train. It leaves Union Station at 5 o'clock. It gets there at 6:15. It's an hour and 15 minutes. I didn't even know there was a train. I was going to drive because that's what I've done my whole life to Milwaukee. And one day I took the train, and Charles says, are you kidding me? You've lived here, you're part of it, your whole life? You didn't know there was a train? I'm like, nobody knows it's a train. We just drive. It's up the lake. It's Milwaukee. You just get in the car and go. Well, you get in the car and you go, whoa. This Antetokounmpo has done this to Milwaukee and the ownership group. And it's a wonderful story.
Do you think he'll stay?
You can't get out the second round, man.
Yeah.
And this is foreseeable. I told you all year.
That's right.
All year. I don't believe in Milwaukee. They're not that good. I don't know who the number two player is because they traded the number two player, Virginia's own Malcolm Brogdon. And I don't know, Tony. I mean, what happens when he goes? Speaking of new arenas and things they've changed, I've seen the one at Golden State. He hadn't seen it yet. I don't think they wanted to play it. Maybe they played there. I don't know. I've seen that. That's not an arena. That thing's a city.
Do you think he'll leave? Do you think they'll fire Budenholzer?
Yeah.
Great regular season coach.
But that doesn't help things. That may not help things. You know, I don't know him well enough. He's under the advisement of a Northwestern, his agent, who he loves, Mr. Alex, a Northwestern alum. And I've gotten to know Giannis a little bit in the last year and a half, you know, less than 2 years. He's thoroughly enjoyable. I mean, just completely engaging and enjoyable, and knows he's developing and growing and coming out. This is a kid whose story, you know, the backstory, and just being an immigrant in Europe and Greece and being illegal, and his ability to, his willingness to talk about the difficulty of that and growing up that way. He just, you meet him and you root for him. Him and his brothers, his family. They're just
as easy to root for him in a Golden State jersey or a Miami jersey.
Well, you know, Tony, I don't know about that. I mean, you know, people feel a certain way about their stories and how they want their heroes to be. And yeah, for a lot of people, it would be. It wouldn't affect them.
LeBron changed the world of sports. He did.
Yeah,
LeBron
he did.
Changed it.
He did. And so I don't know, Tony, I don't know. The pitches he's going to get.
Yeah.
Are come play for this coach and come play with these guys and we'll get these free agents and you can just pick up the phone.
Well,
let me call. They'll come.
Yeah, let me get to another thing because he's not going to be a free agent until after next season. So he could say you've got to trade me because I'm going to leave. But
if he doesn't sign an extension.
That's right. That's in the future. But something happened that stunned me. Billy Donovan is out.
Yeah.
At Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
I think, and you know, I've said this. I thought Billy Donovan was the coach of the year.
Well, he was. The coaches voted him. The coaches have a vote.
And why is he out?
Coach of the year now. But he's not out like they threw him out. That's not it. It was very.
Well, what is
usually
it?
When they say it's mutual, we go, yeah, he was fired. But here's the thing. And Billy Donovan did great work. Billy Donovan was my second vote as coach of the year.
Nick Nurse was first.
What's that?
You put Nick Nurse first.
Nick
right?
Nurse was first on my ballot.
That's fine.
Billy Donovan was second.
Yeah.
And. Or maybe Spoelstra was. I had Donovan and Spoelstra second and third in whatever order they were. But you know what, Tony? Like Chris Paul referred to. He referred when he had this incredible sort of salute to Oklahoma City, and talked about how much he loved playing there and being there. And a lot of people said, "Wow, that sounds like a goodbye." And I look, I'm not going to be disingenuous. I mean, I talked to Chris Paul. We're working on a project together. We talk pretty frequently. I have not talked to him about Oklahoma City lately, since they got ousted. And I, you know, maybe Sam Presti just said, okay, we're in a place where we're not ready yet. We got all these baby-faced kids that Chris Paul took to Game 7 against Houston. He and Billy Donovan, but maybe with him, Chris is 35, and Stephen, what's his name, is I don't know, 32 maybe. Those guys aren't going to be there when the other guys grow up and get to win. And Billy Donovan has been there 5 years. Maybe he's going to retool on the fly. He's got another plan. He always has a plan.
Well, there are openings. There are New Orleans, Philadelphia, Indiana are open. I was just sort of stunned on this one. I really was.
I wasn't expecting it because he'd done such a great job. Coach of the year. As in yesterday that vote was revealed.
Just very odd.
It was, Tony. And there's more. There's more people than there are jobs. There are a couple of good jobs available, but there's more guys to fit them. Somebody's going to hire Jason Kidd, and if they don't, I mean, the Bulls are, you know, looking for a coach, and so Jason Kidd's got to be hired somewhere. Jason Kidd's going to be a really good coach, you know. So Sam Cassell, who I would hire in a heartbeat off of Doc's staff. There's guys who can coach, and obviously Billy Donovan's one of them. Kenny Smith talked last night about how it took him a year or so in the NBA to figure out what he was doing after leaving college, and then Kenny Smith used the words, took off personally. He just, you know, started to soar. So we'll see, but I was surprised like you. Everybody was surprised to hear that.
Get you out of here on this one thing, one of the early loves of your life. You played tennis a lot. You like tennis. Fair or not fair to get rid of Djokovic in the manner in which they did?
You know, strangely enough, and I played more tennis than anything in my life except baseball. I don't have strong feelings about this story. I don't know why I don't. I listened to. I didn't watch it live. You got me on it because I was watching basketball.
I watched all the discussions. I didn't watch the event live. I watched the discussions.
I listened to both McEnroe and Christie and other people, and I don't know whether is it fair? Yeah, he had a linesman in the throat. Yes, it's fair. Would I have done it? I don't know. I do believe in double standards in sports. I'm fine with them, but he hit somebody in the throat. I mean, I can justify either position. I can be lawyerly about it and passionately, loudly justify either thing. It's just too bad because the U.S. Open is already missing, you know, many of the great European stars because you could really – they didn't feel they could play both the U.S. Open and in like 3 days after it go and play the French Open. And a lot of guys just – and women just aren't doing it. And so you're already missing that element from the U.S. Open. And you got Djokovic who, look, Djokovic may retire in 3 to 5 years as the number one male tennis player ever when it comes to number of slams won.
You know how I feel about him? I feel he's Larry Holmes coming after Ali. That's
okay,
how
but the problem is...
He's going to have the numbers.
The problem is he wouldn't have beaten Ali at 40. He would have beaten Ali in his prime.
At 32.
He's playing, he's playing Federer and Nadal. He's beaten them the last 10 years.
Now, I think it's five or six,
Federer, what? No. You don't amass all those championships in 5 years, Tony. You got to amass those in almost, that's real time. It's not like he's come in on the tail end and taking advantage of guys on crutches.
No,
that's not the case.
That's fair. I just don't. I'm not a fan. I'm a fan of the other two.
You may not be a fan, but he may retire with this distinction.
That's right. I totally agree. All right. I will. I'll see you later. Thank you.
Yep, Tom. All right.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls, we will take a break. We will come back with Chuck Todd. We're going to do gambling. We haven't done gambling in a long time. We're going to do some gambling. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's a Simply Safe ad. Here's the thing about home security companies. Most trap you with high prices, tricky contracts, and lousy customer support. So while there are a lot of options out there, there's only one no-brainer, and it's Simply Safe. Simply Safe's got everything you need to protect your home with none of the drawbacks of traditional home security. It's got an arsenal of sensors and cameras to blanket every room, window, and door tailored specifically for your home or for your studio, right, Michael?
We have to keep people out.
We have Simply Safe in the studio.
Must protect the chairs.
We're going to see when we get back 6 months of who's
been in that room.
A
lot of hours of tape to go through.
Professional monitoring keeps watch day and night, ready to send police, fire, or medical professionals in case there's an emergency. You can set it up yourself, as Nigel did, in under an hour. Just peel and stick the sensors exactly where you need them. There's no technician required. And there's no contract, no pushy sales guys, no hidden fees, no fine print. All of this starts at $15 a month. I'm not the only one who thinks Simply Safe is great. U.S. News and World Report named it to the best overall home security of 2020. Head to simplysafe.com/Tony and get a free HD camera. Wow. My listeners get a free HD camera. Good. That's Simply Safe, S-I-M-P-L-I. SimplySafe.com/Tony. That's, well, good. You get a camera. Good, good, good.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Lambo isn't freezing, and there ain't no preseason. The teams are all planning a surprise, it's true. Baker Mayfield hands up to Jimmy Brown. Go! Sam Darnold, sit down! Take over Broadway, Joe. Aaron Donald's on the line next to Deacon Jones. Who? Dak Prescott to Bob Hayes. Touchdown, Cowboy Blue. And even the cardboard cutout fans in Philadelphia. Boom!
Dan Byrne. Bringing us to Chuck Todd and the beginning of something that I quite honestly did not think would happen. If you step back from a second, Chuck, and you realize that baseball continues to be played even with many outbreaks, and basketball and hockey continue to be played, and there is no sense of any threat by the virus, and they're going to play football. I'm stunned. How about you?
I am too. I don't know. I still am a bit of head-scratching mode at how you're going to get all of these rosters.
Me too.
Keep them COVID-free. I mean, it does seem as if, okay, basketball, 12 to 15 people on a roster. All right, baseball, yeah. Now you're up to about 30. Football, right. Now we're up to, what, if you throw in the taxi squad, 75? Something like that?
A lot of people. More support staff than any other sport. Yep.
Yeah, figure almost one per person, right, on average, yep. if you throw that in there. It certainly looks like, I mean, look at the universities. They all opened up. And there's all this circulation. I'm torn on it. I want to see it. I mean, trust me, I'm tired of watching reruns of How I Met Your Mother. I mean, we want to.
Yeah.
I would like to have some sports, but I'm nervous. I'm nervous about it. And yet at the same time, I couldn't take my eyes off of SMU Texas State. So, I was like totally mesmerized by watching that game. Some of it is because University of Miami hired SMU's offensive coordinator as their offensive coordinator. So I was obviously seeing what the offense might look like. But I am football star, so I will confess to that.
Do you know that this is the greatest little statistic that I ever got told to me yesterday, because we were doing something on BYU and Navy. Mm-hmm. Do you know that BYU is the only college in the country west of the Rocky Mountains playing football? It's the only one. Isn't that remarkable?
Did you see the stat? 86, this is, of course, the stat that I would care about. I think it's 86% of college football programs are playing in a state Donald Trump carried. And so I was trying to think, okay, who are the ones not playing? And it's the two, what blue states are playing? And you have the two Virginia schools. So you'd have Virginia and Virginia Tech in the SEC. You'd have Syracuse in New York,
right.
Boston
right.
College. I think that's it. I think those are the only four blue state college football teams playing.
You really like to bet football games. You like
I
to do.
Do
this. Yeah, you have no information. You have nothing. What do you do?
The industry will say, it's not gambling, Tony, it's gaming.
No,
well, it's
gambling.
It's gaming if you feel like you've got a little information and you're trying to make an analytical bet, whatever. This is gambling this year. I completely, I'm not going to say I won't have some fun money, but I am not putting the same amount of effort and leisure time finances towards my inappropriate habit here, because I think it's gambling.
We're going to give you
flipping coins on this one because you don't know. No one. Lincoln Riley said he's not going to tell people who's got COVID. That's fine. I understand it on from a strategic point of view, right? He doesn't want to give his opponents an edge or something like that.
Right.
But it certainly doesn't help. What it means is all the old time, back before the internet, it was always, hey, call up Joe at 1-800. He's got
that's
tips,
right.
There's a lot of Joes out there that are going to be making COVID money this year going, I got the secret list of COVID positives on the LA Rams. Call me right now for my five-star COVID pick. Anyway.
It is completely wild. You are totally flying blind. And, of course, we're giving you seven games. And you're flying blind. And if you go 7-0,
seven games,
it's luck. If you go 0-7, it's luck. If you go 7-0, it's luck. It is.
Totally
all right, you ready?
But if I go 5-2, it's pretty smart.
There you go. the opening game is tomorrow night. Great anticipation for watching Kansas City at home. Houston at Kansas City. Houston's been a playoff team for a while. Kansas City won the Super Bowl. They've got the best single player in football in Patrick Mahomes. Houston is getting 9. That's a lot, 9.
Well, and you would say, boy, that Kansas City home field advantage, right? It's huge.
Well, what is it? Right. Yeah, but there's no fans. What is it?
Well, so there's three NFL teams that are going to allow fans, right, for week one or week two.
I didn't know that.
The Dolphins are one. For some reason, I think the Chiefs are one.
Oh, okay.
I thought for some reason the Chiefs are one, but but it would be like 20,000 fans, so I don't think that matters or anything. I really don't want to take Kansas City here, but But I think your boy in Houston, I don't know what they've done in Houston other than they keep getting rid of their best players.
Yes, their best receiver.
So who's Deshaun Watson throwing to?
Don't know.
And I got the new running backs. David Johnson's doesn't feel like he fits that offense the way you would think he would. I'll go with Kansas City just out of no faith in Houston and your boy Bill O'Brien there.
He still has a job, and he's got both jobs.
You fired him three seasons ago.
Yeah, both jobs, GM and coach, which is insane.
They'll promote him to owner if he has a losing record this year. He'll get promoted to owner.
Miami, which you watched play all the time when you were a kid. Mm-hmm. Miami divisional game at New England. Miami's getting 6.5. Miami's head coach, Brian Flores, was the defensive coordinator under Bill Belichick, so you would think he would know something. But as I look at this game, it's about one person. It's about Cam Newton. It's just about Cam Newton. What does Cam Newton have? 6.5 if you like Miami.
I do like Miami here because I don't know what to – I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think this is going to – I don't think either offense is that on paper looks to be ready – feels as ready as week one. But, you know, we don't even see these teams. We didn't even get to see the crappy preseason games, right?
Nothing. But,
Miami's defense seems slightly better. You assume Belichick's going to have a good defense. And, boy, those Cam Newton-led Carolina Panther teams, they could put up 12 points or they could put up 40 points, right? You're not sure, but I'm not betting on a 40-point Cam week. So I'm going to take Miami in the points.
Cleveland, which was the darling of the media last August and September before games were played and they, you know, regressed to the mean. Cleveland is at Baltimore. Baltimore had a great team. Baltimore's quarterback was the MVP, and in the playoffs for the second year in a row, he failed. Cleveland is getting this divisional game. Cleveland is getting 7.5 at Baltimore. Who you got?
You know what Lamar Jackson stands for? You know how you say Lamar Jackson in Greek?
No.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. Sorry, I was trying a little joke.
Antetokounmpo. That was funny.
Antetokounmpo.
You're going the other way.
Regular season guy.
Yes.
That's great. Regular season. Sorry. That really, you know, I miss your, I miss the audience. You know, you used to give me fake laughs.
Yeah.
I used to get a fake
Nigel,
laugh.
Nigel used to produce the show closer to home. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I get a little something there. But, you know,
that's but if you're going to go for the line and you don't even pronounce the guy's name right.
It's
people go, what? What?
Well,
you should have rehearsed it.
The line. Well, that's my point. No, I was an ad lib. It was a pretty good ad lib. Jesus. I hate the half point. I said to myself, this was a game that if it was 7 or less, I'd be with the Ravens. I'm going to take Cleveland because of on the hook. I don't like the half. And I think Cleveland, I'm going to bet on the we were all a year too early. I've got a soft spot for Cleveland this year. I think that it could finally, if we'll put it this way, it has to come together this year, right? Or they'll blow that up.
Sure. All right. Here's the game that in the 8th week of the season or the 12th week of the season or the 16th week of the season, I would sit down and watch and tell anybody near me, shut up, leave me alone. Tampa Bay at New Orleans. Tampa Bay getting 3.5. Tampa Bay has signed a million people, including Tom Brady. New Orleans is always real. I want to watch this game. Tampa Bay plus 3.5. What do you got?
Well, how about the fact that we're going to get to see Breeze and Brady twice?
Yeah.
I mean, that's automatic. I think that I'm going to go with the veteran team first in the first matchup, just because I think for the sheer fact that they signed all these players, and I don't buy that they all have chemistry in week one. So give me the Saints in this week one matchup simply because of that.
And that makes sense to me, but I know I want to watch this.
Oh, I agree.
I really want to watch this.
You got to ask yourself, how did the NFL, yes, I know you're supposed to give the Super Bowl champs the opening, but let's be realistic. Why is this game at 4:00 on a Sunday? Why is this game not on Sunday night? Or why is this game not on Thursday
night? Although, interestingly enough, the 4 p.m. slot on Sunday gets more eyeballs than Sunday night. It actually does. The rating right? of the Sunday night game is spectacular, but more people tune into this. I think I'm right on this. Maybe I'm wrong. I think I'm right. All right, Dallas at the LA Rams, and I don't know if this is a misprint or not. Nigel said that Dallas is -3 at the Rams, and I don't know how that could be. Are you sure about that, Nigel? -3?
Yeah.
Dallas?
I checked it twice. Chuck, does that check with your numbers?
Yeah, I saw it there too, and I get why it is. I think everybody's just lost. I think there's this, it's like a massive sell-off of the Rams, right? If you bought, you know, if the Rams were a stock, they'd be $5 stock right now. I just think that for a team that was in the Super Bowl two years ago. I'm with you. This line, you're just sitting there going, wow.
Well,
but I think this goes to the lack of respect. You have Dak playing for a contract, and I think there's this idea that this is the year Dallas puts it all together. I see why the bettors are there. I'm nervous about it for the very reason you are, Tony, and it's a home dog I'd like to take.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm talking myself into it. Why not? Give me the home.
I would do
dog.
It. Yeah, I would, yeah, I would take them. I would take the Rams on this.
This
I would take the
Super
Rams.
Super Bowl team from 2 years ago.
And yeah, Dallas, and the last time, team, Dallas is not. Yeah. Dallas
right,
is not. Dallas is the most, and I'm not going to say overblown. I'm just going to say Dallas always starts out like a hot air balloon. Everybody thinks they're great, and they're not necessarily great. Now, maybe Mike McCarthy makes them great. Maybe he does. I don't know, but I would take the Rams on this one. The other game, of course, is Washington. Can be referred to only as the Washington football team.
Tony.
Philadelphia.
I think we missed. Did you skip Green Bay at Minnesota? Did we do that one?
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
No, what,
all right, Green Bay, what's that? What's the line?
Green Bay +2.5 at Minnesota.
Yeah. All right, Green Bay +2.5 at Minnesota. The only thing I would say is that over the course of this year, Aaron Rodgers is going to get very angry at some point. That's your team, right?
Can I make a confession? I'm a little worn out of the Aaron Rodgers drama.
Yeah, I get it. I get it.
I've still got faith in the guy. I still think, but I'm sort of tired of the excuses. I'm sort of tired of the drama. I'm just like, how about let's go put together 5 straight games where you're like, wow, that offense is rolling, you know? And I hadn't seen that in a long time. I think the Kirk Cousins, who doesn't care about the virus but says he will wear a mask, did you follow that controversy, Tony?
I thought I just had too much of him. I'm
yeah, you let it,
I've had
you like
too
that?
Much of him.
You didn't like that? You didn't like that?
Too much of him.
Yeah.
No.
I'm nervous about the Packer drama. I just am. And I don't think Rodgers ever bought into the offense, and that was pretty clear last year when they got destroyed by San Francisco. So I'm gonna give me the Vikings at home. They care about this game probably a little bit more than the Packers do in week one.
The only thing I would say in Rodgers' defense, I mean, I do like Rodgers a lot, but I would say this: they never got him anybody. They don't get him people. They just think he's Houdini and he can do it by himself.
They signed Funchess. They signed, oh my God, one of the great Cam Newton targets of all time of the Carolina Panthers, Darren Funchess. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
My son, who I brainwashed him to be a Packer fan, he couldn't be more angry about this. He goes, not only did they not sign a wide receiver, they didn't draft a wide receiver.
They don't. They drafted
a
quarterback.
They didn't do anything. They drafted a quarterback. They didn't draft any wide receivers. They didn't sign any wide receivers.
No.
And Funchess, their one big signing, he's opting out because of COVID.
So what good is
the one free agent signing? Yeah. Alan Lazard, you have to hope that guy. Look, the Packers create wide receivers out of thin air. Right? They have people you've never heard of become Pro Bowlers with Green Bay.
They do that because they've had Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers.
Right. And I think unfortunately, the franchise looks at that track record and says that it doesn't matter. We can draft anybody who can catch the ball and has enough speed and turn them into a Pro Bowler. And I think that's turned out not to be true.
Rodgers ought to opt out and just say, trade me now. Trade me now. All right, one last game. Now I'll get to it. Philadelphia at Washington. Philadelphia giving 6 at Washington. We have absolutely no idea what Washington has. Absolutely
none. Here's the good news. They're not allowing fans because if they were,
it'd be all Philadelphia fans.
It'd be all Philadelphia fans.
That's right.
All Philadelphia fans.
That's right.
This is the tank season, right? Don't we tank for new ownership? Isn't that what this is?
Tank for new ownership.
Yeah. I'm gonna try to start a pattern here. I'm just gonna blindly bet against the Skins.
Okay.
Excuse me, the Washington football team.
Football team. Yeah, that's hard for me too.
Yeah.
The Washington football team. It's just make it Washington FT. Just call it that and leave us alone.
Do you really want to do the FT? Because there's going to be so many things people want to do with that F.
I think a lot of people
would rather call it the Washington FS. So it'd be
FS, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I think you know what the F is.
All right. Thank you, Chuck.
Goodbye, guys.
Talk to you next week. Chuck Todd, you can watch him on Meet the Press. You can watch him daily on MSNBC, right? Meet the Press Daily is on as well. And if we just gave you Chuck Todd, that would be enough. But we tend to give you more, don't we?
See the monkey, he's scritch, scratching, watching his iPad, smoking and laughing, hanging with Bud Grant, tapping on his purple attaché. Nigel's going to the zoo.
Reginald's
got the
bites by two.
Poo. And he's had too much Johnny Walker Blue.
Michael, I thought you would sing along for sure.
We're having a preschool issue. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Michael's on his phone. All right, Nigel, you went to see Reginald at the zoo. How's Reginald doing?
Well, yes, apparently he summers up in New York City in the Hamptons.
Yeah.
And he commutes to the Bronx Zoo. So I guess that's his summer job. Yeah.
Okay, good.
So I found him, curiously enough, on one of the side courts at the U.S. Open, just hitting balls with John McEnroe, having a good time. He took a bit of a break. And the first game we went over was Houston getting 9 at Kansas City. And he out of his wallet, he showed me a great old photograph of him at the Astrodome at a pie-eating contest with Earl Campbell, J.R. Richard, and Dan Pastorini. So
all
clearly,
Houston greats. He's going Houston. He's going
to go
Texas.
Houston and take the 9. It's a lot of points. He clearly likes that.
Yeah.
Now, the second game we gave him was, as you said, the most anticipated game.
Tampa Bay.
Could be any time this year. Yes, Tampa Bay getting 3.5 at New Orleans. I did not know this. He had a nice little home video that he showed me of him in a U-Haul driving down from Boston with Tom and Giselle helping them move. Isn't that lovely?
I really, really want Tampa Bay to be great. I really do. Because I'm sick of Wilbon denigrating Tom Brady and football. And I want them to be great. I want Gronkowski to be great and Fournette to be great. I want it to work. I don't know if it will. New Orleans, you can't have a harder opening game than at New Orleans. You cannot.
It's right into the cold.
It's the hardest opening game.
Okay. Yeah. And the last game we gave him was Philly giving 6 at the Washington football team.
He can't bet that. Is he going to bet that? What's he going to do?
He's going to take that game because, Tony, I did not know this. And you were covering you were certainly writing about the Redskins back then. He was apparently in a barbershop quartet with Clint Didier, Calvin Muhammad, and Otis Wansley.
Oh, boy.
He's got ties to Washington, and he's going to take
that team. I don't know how you can take him. I think that everybody feels this way about the team in their own city where you go, I have no idea what they've done for the last four weeks. I have no idea. No idea. So, okay, that's good. Thank you. We will take a break, and we will come back with email and a jingle. Am I correct?
That is right, yes.
Terrific. I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the Grammarly ad. Whether you're communicating with your team online or working on a project, Grammarly is the digital writing tool you can always rely on to get your message across clearly and effectively. It works where you work so you can communicate with clarity and confidence on every platform. You want deeper insights on your writing? Grammarly Premium gives you advanced feedback on tone, word choice, punctuation, and more. It has clarity suggestions, which is a feature that makes your sentences clear, concise, and crisp by cutting out unnecessary words and redundant words. You avoid, with vocabulary suggestion, you avoid overused words and sounding redundant to keep your readers engaged. A feature that helps you expand your vocabulary and replaces boring or bland words, although I like a good bland word here or there, with more exciting, effective, and memorable ones. Grammarly Premium helps you write like a pro with advanced real-time feedback. Level up your writing for work, school, or in personal projects. Premium features advanced suggestions on grammar, punctuation, sentence structure, and style. It's the perfect writing tool for anyone who wants to stand out with every word. I'm an English major. Michael's an English major. We are gifted in that we know how to write. And when we read things that are not well written, it stands out immediately. And so I can tell you that if you are not a really good writer, and if you are in the business of having to write for communication, take the help. Take the help. I mean, this is, it's like learning to swim. Stop thrashing around in the shallow end of the pool. Learn to swim. Learn how to write. Get the help. Get 20% off Grammarly Premium when you sign up at Grammarly.com/Tony. That is 20% off Grammarly Premium at Grammarly.com/Tony. I need to spell Grammarly for you, I'm sure. Grammarly.com/Tony.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser Show.
So you're sitting home in quarantine, about to lose your mind. You decide to do some online shopping just to pass the time. You should save yourself some money, just enter Tony or Tony K. Or maybe Ron. Yes, save some cash on your underpants.
You're welcome.
Save some cash. Don't be a dope. Come on, man. What have you been doing out here?
Come on.
Don't be stupid. Use the code.
This is tremendous. That is so great. That is Josh Himmelsbach in Silver Spring, Maryland. That is a Bob Seger song. That is just great. He said, I had this idea a while back, finally spent some lockdown time putting it together. Hope you like it. It's great.
Now use only, the code. If only you had a code for those L.L. Bean t-shirts. You could go all the way up to the long sleeve.
Well, no, I got 20% off.
Of course you did.
I did. I got 20% off. That was great. Nigel, do you want to do the Bethesda Bagels thing right now?
Oh, yes. Bethesda Bagels. We love them. You will as well. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com.
Michael went. Michael went.
Yeah.
It's Bagel Sandwich Day.
Yeah, it's great.
That's a surprise Bagel Sandwich Day.
Yeah, we didn't think so on a Wednesday. I'm happy. I didn't know. I didn't even know you had. Oh, I'm very happy about that. All right, tell them where it is, Michael.
Located in the heart of Bethesda, 4819 Bethesda Avenue.
That'll just about do it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me say they finished off an apartment with a two-room Robux sale. The Coolerator was crammed with TV dinners and ginger ale, but when Pierre found work, the little money coming worked out well. C'est la vie, say the old folks. It goes to show you never can tell, one of the great Chuck Berry songs of all time. Thank you to our guests, Michael Wilbon and Chuck Todd. Thank you to our sponsors today, Simply Safe, Grammarly, and the Lincoln Financial Group. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and radio.com. If you get the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. I've had this with me for a while from Nathan Buman in Australia. I write to you from sunny Townsville in Queensland, Australia. As a longtime daily listener of the PTI podcast, I decided to give your show a listen about 6 weeks ago. I absolutely love it. Part of my morning ritual is refreshing my podcast app to see if a fresh episode is waiting for me. Here in Australia, we've been lucky enough that the majority of the country hasn't been affected by the virus anywhere near as bad as the United States. One of our major sports, the National Rugby League, has been up and running since before the end of May. Apart from two teams having to relocate from Melbourne and New Zealand, the season has run very smoothly with nobody in any of the major sports contracting the virus. Each team has a bubble of 55 players and staff who are only allowed to leave the house and travel to training or a game. Anyway, on to a more important matter. I listen to your podcast on the way to work Tuesdays and Thursdays due to the 14-hour time difference. If it's not too much to ask, would it be possible for you to please do a show early Sunday morning your time so I have something to listen to on the way to work on Monday?
Fair.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Alex Lau in New York City. Was I correct in hearing you no longer fold your pizza? What have those monsters in D.C. done to you? If necessary, I'd be more than happy to drive down to D.C. and drop off a real New York City pie with some Zarro's black and white cookies for dessert at your doorstep. I'll beat whatever that D.C. chef is making for you. That would be Roberto Dona.
Try the Litos.
Michael from North Carolina. Michael Taylor, but not Michael K. Taylor.
Swing and a miss.
The Free Little Library email on Monday Made me think how lucky I would be to find one of your signed tomes inside the many little libraries in my neighborhood. I recently proposed to the woman whom I soon will be related to by marriage by finding her favorite book in one of these little library houses with the words, "Will you marry me?" on the page with the flower sticking out. Yes, I was glad the book was still there when she noticed it. But I can't imagine my surprise if instead we had found one of your books with a signed inscription that also happened to plug Bethesda Bagels or perhaps a Ron promo code. If you want to use more time in this email, I'd actually place two of these books at a different little library in her neighborhood so we would find it no matter which way she wanted to go on our daily coronavirus walk. After my brother pointed out I could sabotage a blossoming relationship if another couple found the extra book with the "Will You Marry Me?" on the inside, we drove out and picked the book later that night. If any dope decides to repeat my move, they should keep the ring in their pocket, not the book. I inexplicably started calling people dopes at a young age. When my peers pointed out that dope was an old man term, it didn't take me long to discover that I'd picked it up from you and Wilbon during my 15-plus years of watching PTI and listening to the podcast. Yes, I did Google to see if I was using whom correctly. Didn't get a definitive answer, so I await the ruling of the English major. Yes, you were using it correctly. I think that's very nice. Todd Urkel in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. In the fall of 1983, I walked into the Grand Ballroom atop the Hotel Pennsylvania with its sweeping view of Madison Square Garden below for Big East Media Day. I arrived on a tailwind of excitement like a boy making his first Hajj to basketball Mecca. As I approached the Georgetown table, Coach John Thompson turned his left shoulder a half turn and began to rub his eyes, already tired for the nonsense of this ritual. Kid, his body language was telling me, don't even. But I didn't read his body language at age 20, so I reached right into the lion's jaw. I asked a question about his feeling pressure regarding expectations for the coming season. Thompson spun in his seat and lengthened his frame toward me. Kitty said, pressure's when your rent is $35 and you don't have more than $10. I met the lion again and again on many occasions, each a teachable moment, each leaving me more tempered, more able, and more aware of power as it was traded and negotiated in a complex world. Rest in power, Big John. That's a great email. From Alec Pleat in Tampa. Just caught Springsteen on Broadway on Netflix. Meh. Perhaps it would have been better if I hadn't fast-forwarded through all the songs. Yeah, maybe. From Mitchell May in Erie, Pennsylvania. Ever since you read my email about how to properly fold a slice of pizza, my world has been a blur. My school's athletic page tweeted about it. My dad's Facebook post got 52 likes. And most crazy of all, last night while working at a country club in Erie that doesn't need mentioned unless they give you a round of golf, a pizza was delivered to me. The caddy that brought it over to the tennis facility said that the pizza was the official D3 tennis player, for the official D3 tennis player of the Tony Kornheiser Show. After several attempts to find out who sent me this pizza, I've come up with no answer. Did you send me a pizza? No, I wish I did, but I didn't. Also, as the official D3 tennis player of the show, do I get a TK headband or wristband? No, you don't. A Johnny O quarter zip would probably be good to play tennis in. I'll bet it would. Use the code Uncle Benny. I'll have my people, me, get in contact with your people, probably Michael, via Twitter. Maybe a pair of those cool socks you have. You can have six. You can have six, Mitchell. Thanks to whoever sent me the pizza. It was really good. And, of course, from Mike in Burke, Virginia. Dr. Hoffwaff, payday candy bars are good for you and natural, huh? Ingredients, peanut, sugar, corn syrup, skim milk, vegetable oil, palm or sunflower oil, salt, carrageenan, and mono and diglycerides. 240 calories, 13 grams of fat, 21 grams of sugar, 7 grams of protein. It is, however, gluten-free, so you have that going for you, which is nice. If you want to walk more, walk more. If you want to have a candy bar, have a candy bar. But don't act like a payday is a bleeping rice cake. Mike from Burke, Virginia. If you're out on your bike tonight, everybody as always do wear white.
You got to harvest your nuts right now, man.
Lefty on the mound on Capitol Street with an ERA well north of wheat. If you're looking for an out or two, you might be feeling conned by the Beltway Mitterrand. The Beltway Mitterrand backs many causes, there's no doubt. Here's a cause to try sometime getting someone out. To get his strikeouts throwing 95 at least, but when your rapidité is down to 90, strike un, strike deux, mon Dieu, sur le mot, about way Mitterrand. He went from 72 up to 63, about way Mitterrand. Gregorius look like Barry Bonds, the Beltway Mitterrand. And there ain't no preseason. The teams are all planning a surprise, it's true. Baker Mayfield hands up to Jimmy Brown. Go! Sam Darnold, sit down! Take over Broadway Joe. Aaron Donald's on the line next to Deacon Jones. Who? Dak Prescott to Bob Hayes. Touchdown Cowboy Blue. And even the cardboard cutout fans in Philadelphia. Blue! Cardboard cutout fans in Philadelphia, boo. Even the cardboard cutout fans in